Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sunny, beautiful. Woohoo, happy Monday. Joining us now, Sheriff Bob Johnson is out for a week or two, but we've got a very, very capable pinch hitter and Chief Deputy Randy Tift of the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. It's been a minute since we talked, so good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, one of the kind of the big stories from over the weekend is you guys got called by, Arkansas sheriffs were looking for a couple of missing kids, and you guys wound up helping with this. Is that right?
Yeah. The bulletin came out on the National Child Protection Task Force team. We got contacted by Berry County, Arkansas, that a male with two children were believed to be in the south end of the county off Gulf Boulevard. So we immediately dispatched deputies to that area. The vehicle that this guy was using was stolen out of Berry County, Arizona. And we got there and got a visual on all three of them, the male and the two children.
Wow.
We later learned that he had burglarized the beach house that he was at and was planning on stealing another car and leaving the area with the children. So it all worked out. We were able to get the children back and everything was fine. He was arrested. We charged him with burglary, criminal mischief, contributing to the delinquency of minor. And then he had out-of-state warrants for kidnapping and vehicle theft out of Berry County, Arkansas. So worked out real well. We were able to get the kids back, turn them over to DCF, and of course, reunited them with the other parent. So it worked real well. FDLE was involved. They were getting the notifications also. So this was a positive for those kids.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, I heard you say, but I just want to make sure I heard, this is one parent illegally taking the kids out of state. This is not a stranger kind of situation, right? That's what you said?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And I mean, not that that's okay. I just, I think of them
right.
as somebody. I mean, it's obviously not.
It was a parental abduction.
Got it. Okay. And this is, to me, it's a reminder of, and I feel like I can't say this enough times, because you never know. If I tell one person whenever we mention this and they remember it when something happens, then I'm winning. Because the TV and the movies tell you got to wait 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever. And the amount of time you got to wait to report a missing person of any kind, especially a missing kid, is how long, Chief Deputy?
They want you to wait at least 24 hours on it, but we take reports and put them into Amber Alerts immediately.
That's
once
right.
We know there's something suspicious going on with those kids. We got to get it quick. Within 24 hours, you can be three or four states away.
That's it. I just, every time I hear it, it makes me cringe, because somebody's going to hear that and think it's true, and I'm sure they have. But the amount of time to wait is no time. Call now. Like, immediately, because
right.
You guys would rather do 100 false calls and save one than miss one. Or, just anyway. And this is a weird case to me, too, because from so far away, they were able to figure out that they were in, a particular portion of Santa Rosa County. Is this a license plate reader case? Can you not say? Do we know how we knew that they were here?
They knew the vehicle he had, so I'm not sure how they originally got notification of the vehicle. I think they got it from the GPS on the vehicle that he stole,
okay,
but they
okay.
didn't share that with us immediately. They just said he was somewhere around in this area. Because they don't have, our contacts with all of our systems also. So I'm thinking that it was probably something on the car, because they knew the car, which car he had, and it was stolen out of that state.
But timing was everything, because if he'd have gotten the different car, then you're back to square one, right? So that's just...
Absolutely. We were... them quickly calling us and notifying us that they had an idea where he was at, it probably saved days and days of tracking him down, because he was planning on stealing a different vehicle. And then there we were. We'd have to figure out that vehicle was stolen,
right.
And then try to track that vehicle and go on from there. So it could have stretched on for several more days and several more states even.
Hey, switching gears a little bit, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Scott Lunsford, who is our supervisor of elections in Escambia County, of course, he also deals with gun permits. And he had put out a note the other day that as far as I know, is accurate. I mean, I believe it is accurate, but it's also a good reminder to people that the rules about carrying guns around schools are actually very strict, based on federal law, if I'm not mistaken. So if I am in my car with my gun, legally concealed or open, either way, legally in my car, if I pick up a kid at a car rider line, that's not legal, right?
No. Statute 790 still states that a person shall not possess any firearm, electric weapon, device, destructive device, or any other weapon, including box cutters. I mean, it gets very detailed. So they're not still not supposed to be within school. You're not supposed to be within 1,000 feet of a school during school hours or during a time of school-sanctioned activity. So this law has gotten very confusing, and this court case has really muddied up the waters as far as what people can and cannot do.
No kidding.
And all the attorneys have been looking at it, and there's going to be some clarification during our next legislative session that'll do it. We've even, some of the Florida Sheriff Association attorneys have even been in contact with the attorney that filed that appeal with the District of Appeals. And he realizes, that firm realizes that there was some unintended consequences, to say it better, of this ruling. That because of the way our statute was written is what made it confusing once the open carry became legal.
Right.
Because our statute said that it was illegal. So, you know, once they overrode that part, then you've got to get the wording right in the statutes to show that it's a weapon and not necessarily a handgun. And that's the confusion in our current statutes, is it all says handgun, concealed handgun. It's not weapon.
You know,
but a lot of those restricted areas are still are restricted.
And by the way, thank you for clarifying that it was a Florida statute, not a federal. I had that mistaken. But also a note that if people have a unloaded gun, unready and available to their hands, like say in the trunk, that is actually allowed even if you're in the car rider line. I mean, I don't know what purpose it has, but still you. Legally cannot carry concealed or open in your car any kind of a weapon that's ready to hand in your car currently, even so, because of this other state statute, correct?
That's correct. You still cannot around a school.
And that's what I wanted people to know, because I don't want people to get in trouble. You know, that's the main thing. So, Chief, you were about to say something. I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the one thing, and I think this has been out there, Andrew, but the private property and businesses still have a right to say that open carry not allowed on there. So I would just, people need to keep in mind, read when you go into a store or business, because they still have the ability to say that open carry and weapons are not allowed in their business by Florida statute. So
absolutely,
just keep in mind of that, so that nobody does get in trouble. If it happens, we're going to get there. We're going to remind people of the law. You know, we're going to try to make sure everybody stays within the law and respects private businesses and private property also.
I mean, look, I can walk around barefoot, and I can walk around in my short shorts, and I can walk around with my open carry, and the grocery store can tell me you got to put shoes on, you got to wear longer shorts, and you can't open carry. I mean, that's just, you know, they can trespass me for behavior that would normally be legal, but is not, you know, they can control behavior on their property. I think one or two things I wanted to ask you about. One is, I think you had some data, you and I were talking before we got on the air, you have some data about calls for service being up and dramatically up.
Yeah, it's no secret that Santa Rosa County is growing exponentially, and a lot of people are moving into Santa Rosa County, and Escambia County, Okaloosa, Walton, we're all facing the same thing. People want to live in Florida. People want to live in the panhandle, and we're growing. Our calls for service have increased substantially over the last year. 2024, we did 125,879 calls for service. We expect that number, and I haven't run 25's calls yet. We'll run those near the end of the year. But I expect that to be up probably around 140,000, 150,000 calls for service.
Wow.
So we've done through August, we had 1,838 felony arrests, 2,100 misdemeanor arrests. So we're staying busy. Our deputies, our men and women, are working hard out there. Sometimes it may take us a few minutes extra to get to a call when you call, unless it's a high importance call. Some of the calls we're having to hold because our deputies are just busy. They're going from call to call. So just be patient with us. They're doing the best they can. These men and women out here are going at it hard every day.
You know, last question that I have for you, Chief Deputy, is, we've been talking sort of this morning, talked about it with Jimmy Petronas just a minute ago, but this attack on this church, this LDS church in Michigan, which was a combination of fire, accelerant, guns, and a truck ramming. You know, we've seen pieces like this before, and we haven't necessarily seen all three kind of in the same place, but you guys do a safety in the places of worship thing. I think you didn't do it. You did it for all the churches not that long ago, but you know, I assume the primary focus there was on gunmen, but now you got to think about, you know, people driving vehicles into the place of worship too, right?
Yeah, that's an extra element that, you know, that adds something that's very difficult to block.
Yeah.
You know, normally our churches don't have any type of barriers up around them or anything like that. We work with all our churches. We have churches reach out periodically and say, hey, I've got a new security team. Can you come out and spend some time? And we send some of our staff out, a lot of our SWAT leaders and SWAT members out to go over safety, how to patrol your campuses, where to stand at your campuses, you know, how to look out for things that are strange. And we just did a big one about a month and a half ago with about 15 churches in it. So we'll do that once or twice a year upon request when we get a lot of them coming in. And they do routinely have a lot of new security members. And,
yeah.
And we're blessed because most of our churches, like Escambia, Okaloosa, and Walt, most of our churches, they have active security teams that are there to protect, you know, the people that are going to church. So we do those training, and we welcome the churches to reach out to us anytime, and we're glad to come and help them out.
Yeah, I mean, you got these, grocery stores and malls have the, you know, the bollards in place because they've made that decision a long time ago, and I guess we're starting to talk about churches need to do that too. You know, it's just, it's crazy. It really is. Chief Deputy Randy Tiff with Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. Sir, as always, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to talking to you again next week as Sheriff Johnson's out for a couple weeks. But thanks for the update, for keeping us safe, and for doing everything you do. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Have a good week.